Hi, this is Patrick Johnson. I am really looking forward to the show today, but first, a word from our attorneys.
The information provided in this program is believed to be factual and up-to-date, but we don't guarantee its accuracy, and it should not be regarded as a complete analysis of the subjects discussed. Discussions and answers do not involve the rendering of personalized investment advice, but are limited to the dissemination of general information and may not be suitable for all members of the listening audience. Listening to this program should not be considered an engagement with SRS Capital Advisors, Inc. or Wealth Partner. Wealth Partner is a division of SRS Capital Advisors, Inc., an SEC-registered investment advisor whose principal office is located in Colorado. Patrick Johnson is an investment advisor representative of SRS Capital Advisors. Being a registered investment advisor or describing ourselves as being registered does not imply a certain level of skill or training. Welcome to Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise, where we believe financial wealth is one part of overall well-being. Wealth is a rainbow, and money is one of the colors. Now, here's your host, Patrick Johnson.
Now I have the pleasure of introducing you to Kevin Miller. A lot of you might know the name Zig Ziglar. Kevin got his start with that organization, still is affiliated, but has his own very successful podcast, just published a book called What Drives You. But what has been Kevin's bread and butter for the last, how many years, Kevin? 20 years you've been podcasting or less? Or
less than that.
But doing since it started.
Doing it for a long time. Doing this method of consistency for about 7 years.
Oh, 7 years. Okay. So podcasting, actually, I said 20 years. It probably hasn't
even
been around.
I don't know if it existed. Was the internet?
Yeah, because you were around when it started. So I'm dating myself. Around. My kids called me a rounder the other day.
Yeah.
That's why Steve runs my financial planning group. So Kevin, though, has for 7 years interviewed some of the brightest thinkers in our culture. And so the name of this show is Healthy, Wealthy, Wise. We try to add something of value every show to listeners in one of the dimensions, if not multiple dimensions, of their well-being. And we've hit the healthy quite a bit. We've hit the wealthy bit in my arena with some consistency. The wisdom bit has been the area we've maybe been lacking a bit. And none of us are claiming to be the best in finance or the best doc or the most wise. But Kevin has had the benefit of really sitting with some wise people and asking good questions on his podcast and assimilating that wisdom. So delighted to have him here and introduce him. And today, we're just going to go kind of podcast style, even though this is short form radio, and we're just going to lean into an idea called misogi. And misogi is a Japanese term, and it's been brought into the cultural narrative by an author named Michael Easter. Michael Easter wrote The Comfort Crisis. Kevin, you've actually interviewed him, haven't you?
No, we reached out to him too. When Randy said, dude, you've got to read this book.
Oh, okay. So that was recent. So you're waiting. It's in process then. That'll probably happen. So Kevin, that's going to be a cool experience. But the concept of misogi has been brought into the cultural narrative by Michael Easter, The Comfort Crisis. We all highly recommend it. But the idea is that it is good for you. And that's going to be the discussion of this show. So we're going to be in Randy's world with health quite a bit. We're going to be in Kevin's world of wisdom quite a bit. But the wisdom and the health benefits of misogi. Well, first, what is it? It is where you go out and you do hard things. That's the way Michael Easter succinctly articulates a Japanese concept that was originally standing under a cold waterfall for a long time for purposes of spiritual purification. Fast forward to today, it's known as just doing something really hard. He qualifies that by you have about a 60% chance of success and you can't die, right?
Like that's die and you're not supposed to hurt anybody else.
Right. So we have a group of men. It's about 100 guys on a distribution list. We get out on Wednesdays and we do something hard. The theme of this season has been the mini misogi. Kevin and Randy and I have been on many of these adventures together, including me and Randy recently skiing Emperor Couloir off of Torres Peak. And it was a big misogi type day. So we thought this would be fun just to riff with each other on this concept of misogi. But why is it wise to engage with this principle? What does it look like? What are the health benefits? So let's kick it off from there and let's try to bring some value to listeners in the dimension of wisdom and health today. Who wants to take it?
Dude, yeah. Kevin, I'll start. I mean, it was interesting because, you know, I mean, I was a pro cyclist and there were so many times when you lived at your limit in every race. Mm. And so initially, you know, looking at the misogi, I was thinking, oh, you know, I do that. But then I don't. I do the things that I still have a level of comfort and mastery in, even in the hardship and the challenge. That the true misogi here was more like, and you're going to laugh because I think it was such an easy thing for you, but when we went surfing in Mexico, that first day, I just felt like I just went out there and just got beat up.
Oh, yeah.
And had no competency. I literally felt like I have zero competency here. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm not having any success, but I don't want to fit. I want to get up on this board, which that first day I never even did, but it was something to where I thought, you know, I'm not going to die here.
But sometimes you felt like you were.
But just had, there was some significant chafing and bruising and whatnot. But afterwards, there is this, and it got me contemplating, what is the benefit? And like we were talking about off mic a minute ago, that I think every time you do that and you push yourself and you're in a level of, not that the point is discomfort, but it's outside of your comfort zone somewhat, you come back and other things that normally seem hard are easier. That seems simplistic, but I feel like that's somewhat at the heart of what I look at the misogi for.
I like that. And just so listeners are calibrated, I took a group of, where we went as a group of men down to Sayulita, Mexico for a gathering to talk about legacy, reflecting back on 22, forward on 23. And through a rubric of intentional effort to stay in a higher vibrational state, like I've talked about on previous shows. So it was a really great trip, but a lot of the time was spent surfing, mountain biking, hanging out, having some good tequila and cervezas together, and just settling into flow. So I wanted to ask you, with your understanding and experience of misogi surfing, getting on a bike's not hard for you. I've been with you in a beat down on Monarch Crest, cold, like, but you can hammer. Like, you can just keep going on a bike, former pro cyclist, but surfing was different for you. So let's bring in the concept of flow into misogi,
right,
and play with that. So Mihai Csikszentmihalyi, 1972, coined this term flow, and now they're able to study it. You've interviewed Kotler, I'm pretty sure, Stephen Kotler, almost called the father of flow, but he'll give credit to Csikszentmihalyi. But four primary ingredients, the first two conjoined, living at the intersection of skill and challenge, which you were on the beach, also some degree of novelty and some degree of risk. So those are the four primary ingredients to flow. So is misogi a certain type of flow state, or are they different? Like, Randy, what do you think neurochemically? Like, what, or Kevin can pick that up. It's kind of a general question for the both of you, but where do thoughts take you?
Yeah, bringing in the interface. I was not on the Sayulita trip, but you and I were on a trip 2 days ago. And that was a misogi for me. And to calibrate the listeners, we did a skin up, a 14er. So skiing up a 14,000 foot mountain, and you bringing in the concept of flow. And how many times did you kind of remind me, hey, you know, be in rhythm. I'm picking up my legs too high. You just want to kind of shuffle here. There is a flow to this. I'm at my intersection of challenge. I'm comfortable on skis, but I'm walking on skis now.
This is different.
It's a different skill set. And so then the front side of that mountain was the, you know, invest in just the rhythm of the flow. Neurochemically there, I think that it was so different from the back side of the mountain where—
looking for the hardest line down the face, Emperor Core.
We're locking in.
Yeah.
And now you're skiing. And on the front side, it was the consistency of the flow. I don't know how that would interface with surfing. And then we switched gears. And on the backside, it's microseconds of your ski tips get caught. And you just can't let that happen. And there's that element of danger. Like, don't miss that turn.
Can't.
And you can't, right? Like, it's like, okay. And there's always the chance of, you know, I might, but I'm not going to think that way. And so—
ooh, that's it. Powerful comment, mindset.
Okay. I might, but I'm not going to think that way. My mindset is, of course, I'm going to make that turn. But you, as a good friend on the front side, I had minutes, like long minutes of, golly, am I going to quit? Right? Am I going to go backwards here? And you're like, no. And so the interplay there of I'm challenged, I'm with a friend, and then on the counterplay on the backside of the mountain, where at 14,000 feet skiing down a couloir, which, you know, many people have looked up at these peaks, and for me too, I've looked up at those peaks and seen on YouTube. I know guys ski down that, but that's insane. And and there I was.
Yeah, yeah, like Patrick said, to fasting the first time we talked about it. That's a hard no for me.
Yeah, remember that day. That's a hard no. Yeah. 3 days,
here I
no
am,
food.
Yeah. So yeah, I think listeners are getting the idea here of flow, but you just touched on a couple of things: mindset and community.
Yeah.
I mean, I've hit my mental and emotional walls, and a good friend of mine who we'll probably have on the show, Jeff, has helped me push and find my own new gears as well. Kevin actually was partly responsible for that for me on the Grand Traverse that I recently did, which was a really tough endurance race. And you had said to me one time when we were riding and I was having a hard time that you would ride so hard in the Peloton to hold somebody's wheel, your eyes would bleed. And I was like, well, here I am on the Traverse. My eyes aren't bleeding yet, so I'm gonna keep pushing. But we can find those new dimensions and gears. And so I think listeners are starting to get a sense for what Misogi is. Like, you're really digging deep and hard. There's an element of flow to that. And so we've got a couple minutes before the break. What would you say is the primary health benefit, Randy, of exploring this dimension?
Yeah, that might be an easy one. With almost every cellular structure, there's the value of the extremes. Mm. You know, there is, we go to Finland and they're in the super hot sauna, and then you can go jump in a polar ice bath. You will die if you stay there.
Okay.
But if you would also die if you're on the Grand Traverse every day.
Yeah.
That's right. Just, if you run a marathon every day, it's irrational. And at the same time, if you sit on the couch every day, that's another kind of extreme on the other side. Mm. And so the healthiest cell, whether it's cardiac, liver, whatever, is touching the extremes and recovering.
Ooh, excellent.
And even the word inflammation, you tip over into inflammation and then you resolve. Inflammation, resolution. And you'll like this, Patrick. It's breathe in, breathe out.
Beautiful. That is about as perfect a break as we could have called for. We'll be right back after this quick break with more on the concept of Misogi and flow and the wisdom and health benefits.
The Healthy, Wealthy, Wise Show is underwritten by Wealth Partner, a unique wealth management firm based in Colorado Springs. Wealth is a rainbow, and money is one of the colors. We believe prudent stewardship of one's financial life is critical to overall well-being, and this is where we begin our relationship with clients. Our highly personalized financial planning process is designed to reduce stress so clients can more fully enjoy all the dimensions of their true wealth. And to help clients thrive, we also offer powerful, cutting-edge, evidence-based health and well-being services. Wealth Partner is a rapidly growing company, which has evolved out of an award-winning fiduciary wealth management firm, currently managing well over $1 billion in client assets. And our offering is priced at a fraction of the cost of most firms. If this unique approach to wealth management interests you, please visit our website at www.wealthpartner.com. That's wealth spelled W-E-L-L-T-H, W-E-L-L-T-H-partner.com.
Welcome back to Healthy, Wealthy, Wise on KRDO News Radio. Here's your host, Patrick Johnson.
All right, we're back. And that was a really fun first segment talking about the concept of Misogi and flow. And Randy just touched on the health benefits of homeostasis is what I heard. Breathing in, breathing out. Cells need to be stressed.
And can we even say that?
Hormetic stress.
Yeah, there you go.
Right.
So the concept of hormesis is, homeostasis is kind of in the middle of the average. Mm. But the hormetic effect is on both edges.
I didn't know that. Interesting. Okay.
So the hormesis, and this is the whole sitcha, which we'll also define as self-imposed, daily, challenging, healthy activity.
And Kevin's interviewed that author too.
So. Kevin has, so I'll let Kevin refer back to that. But the idea there, and even, you know, the cold plunge or the hot sauna, the exercise. So most Americans are really, initially revolting at the concept of fasting for a prolonged mm-hmm. amount of time. And they say, well, gosh, that's not healthy. No, it's not healthy to fast forever. but what Michael Easter brought up is, well, but we're on the other side where we almost feast forever. And so—
Like the Wall-E dystopian nightmare.
The Wall-E dystopian nightmare is we tend this way and now it's hurting us. So how do we, as smart, intelligent, wise, in this case, men with families, kind of introduce our kids into this idea of there is good pain. Mm-hmm. There is good on the other side. It's not that you have to go and do the opposite of celebrating pain all the time. No, it's not that. But the best homeostasis is when you have the hormetic effect on either side.
Perfect. And I think that's a great takeaway. And because this is short form, so the three of us do a podcast together and we go
where we talk forever.
So we're gonna, but Kevin has been over there on his keyboard clearly with some thoughts. So I want to bring the mic in his direction and you go.
Well, I'm just thinking, you know, as you talk about flow and physical effort, I'm back to thinking, we joke about, you know, when we first talked about fasting with you and your response that we, Randy and I have a friend, Stephen Smith. And when Randy first asked him.
Yeah, Steve was trying to lose weight and he was going to lose, or he was going to do a prolonged fast. And I said, okay, you've done a day before, done 24 hours. Let's go into the next day. And so he fasted a full day. So a full Monday, let's say, and he wakes up Tuesday morning. And I said, Steve, what was your first thought on Tuesday morning? And his response was abject terror.
Interesting.
And that kind of hit me.
So that was my point, that if somebody's listening to this and thinking about how to stress themselves, it could be fasting for a day. You don't need to go to the top of a 14 or in the middle of the winter. It could be to fast for the day.
Thank you.
And I've heard that from some people, to think of solitude. We have a friend, Todd, who goes to a monastery. I think to help him do it, maybe it's harder for him otherwise, but he goes there and there's no talking. Even when they come together to eat, there's no talking to the person. And
silent retreat.
He's a very extroverted, external thinker. And so for him, that's, because I'm thinking about that, I'm thinking, that's great, man. Give me a book. I'm good. But for him, that's very difficult. So to look at that thing, and you may not need to go do a 14er in the middle of the winter or ride a bike so hard that the blood vessels in your eyes bust or whatever, but it could be that thing that is that stumbling block.
Absolutely.
For you. Like the cold shower and the story that I had of a guy, and a coach told him, go take a cold shower, because the guy was not making a decision and finally did it. He just, a cold shower, which you guys, you know, might think it's not that big of a deal, but for him, it was a triggering point of going in there and on your own volition, saying, I'm going to put myself in something uncomfortable. We end up in those things as victims, but do we step in and go, I'm going to step in and proactively be uncomfortable? And we don't. But the ability to do that, the mental component of that is so dramatic, to then go back to the everyday life and to look at the risks and the decisions and go, man, this isn't life threatening stuff. Yeah, it's cold. Yeah. Dude, I did a cold shower. I can make this.
Seriously, it is so hard to turn that. I do it every morning. Listeners should know. Up here in Woodland Park, it blows cold. It's legit cold.
I was gonna say, hold on, man. If somebody's in Florida talking about getting a cold shower,
Florida cold.
This is water from 8,500 feet above sea level. It's
cold.
Cold.
Every morning though, I do it, and I have to stand the 30-second personal count, which is more like a minute, and it's really excruciating. And that's not too, but it has changed my life. It has changed my decision rubric. It has changed my level of intensity, which is a peaceful but laser-focused intensity. I can get through this because this morning I turned on a cold shower. You know, there is something to this, right? So I'm just validating.
I'm loving it. I'm thinking about, you know, I so struggle going down the pass when I have to here in town, and there's always the person driving in the left lane at a lot slower pace than I would like. And what that does to me internally. But again, the exercise of stepping into a cold shower as an idea and just doing that thing that's uncomfortable, and I can get through it and I'm not going to die, can help me deal with that frustration over here and the downstream effects of these types of things that we proactively decide to do. Back to the Sidcha, is dramatic. It really enthralls me.
Yeah, it's And Huberman, is it Huberman Labs that has some? I mean, he has some really interesting stuff on this. Kotler's work is fascinating. I'd really value your two cents based on you, as best you can remember from your interviews with Kotler. What jumps out at you as he promotes this concept of flow, which, I mean, basically he's saying you can put a brain map now on people's brains and map the neuro or activity. Like, I don't have any medical terms. You give me financial, I'll talk all day, but I don't know medical terms. But basically the brain of a meditator or a prayer or a, you know, monk or it doesn't matter the religion. It's just that prayer state. If you put brain map on that person or the Red Bull athlete hucking the cliff, it fires up the same way. And Kotler is a big proponent of this. So what can we do? And I've been trained with Kotler. Like, I'm a big proponent of his, but Kevin, you've spent time with him. What comes to mind as you think about Kotler when we're bringing wisdom to bear on the listening community?
It gets me thinking of some of the similarities, overlaps, and differences of the Misogi going out. Anybody can do that. Go out and do something that pushes you physically, whether it is a great physical, again, a push, or, you know, again, fasting or being in solitude. We can all do that. Flow, honestly, with Kotler, one of the things that came up was, can you really step into flow without some level of mastery? And I use that word mastery for lack of a better term. Maybe you guys have a better one, but I'm going to say, let's say familiarity.
Okay.
Something that you have some level of familiarity to it, even if there's novelty and challenge and whatever, but some level of that. Because I think people, I've seen people be in flow in their art, painting. I've experienced
absolute
it with,
mathematics, dance.
I experience it with writing. I experience it here in conversation.
No question. Come back though. I'm curious about this with your experience in the surf. It was totally familiar, no level of mastery, no level
totally
of familiarity.
Right.
Do you think you could have even gotten into flow that day, or was it pure Misogi? So they are maybe different.
No, well, I did have some level of familiarity because it was still the physical exertion, which is such a big part of my life. Yeah. So anything you put me into where elevated, and even that level of comfort that, dude, I'm not going to die. I can keep myself alive, and that wave's not going to kill me. A shark might, but I didn't go that far. But so there even was there, even though the platform itself, the vehicle was unfamiliar, and even the water and whatnot, still the effort, that was a comfort in that sense, a balm to say, okay, I can handle this.
Really interesting how these two principles, the Venn diagram between the two.
Mm-hmm. Flow though.
Wouldn't you say that you, on that day of surfing, I would submit you could not have gotten into flow because you did not have the level of mastery of the surfing piece. You can master, you and I have talked about skiing all the time too, where you're strong enough to ski all day long, but it would be hard for you to get into the flow if we're going to do a run and where somebody else with that extra level of mastery or comfort or familiarity can get into a flow state, and you're still going to be tending towards the don't die mindset. And
if we're
and
on a
effort and
double black diamond, there's no flow for me.
Right. And conversely, if I'm trying to keep my front wheel on your tail, I'm just on your back wheel. I mean, I just, it's gone. There's no flow.
You're just trying to bleed
I'm just trying to not die. Yeah.
And so to your question, if people are out there thinking about flow, I think it's an advocacy, or I would say an encouragement to participate in something consistently where you have some level of comfort and then push yourself from within that.
Okay. So then we'll come back to the cold shower, Misogi principle, cold water, purification, flow. There's a purifying element to it. So Randy, back to you. The other day on the mountain, or Kevin, for that matter, we were together on the Monarch Crest day. We rode right into the eye of a big storm cell, had a lot of type 2 fun, which is the kind of fun that is like miserable while you're doing it, but great looking back on it. And we found a degree of flow in the Misogi.
Yeah.
So they are so overlapped and interwoven. It's really interesting. So we've got on a cellular level, the benefit of doing something hard, hormetic, stress, exploring the fringes of healthy cellular activity.
I was going to say, you know what I thought about on the Monarch Crest Trail is one of my thoughts was, it can't get any worse. And just, I there was a freedom there of, I'm so cold. My hands are pruning. You know, it's so wet. What the heck?
So we're back to mindset.
This is interesting. It can't get any worse. I'm just going to be in the moment and be okay with it.
Okay, so mindset as a component of Misogi and flow. Mm. All right, Kevin, any thoughts there? Well, we got to wrap
up.
No,
I think you just said it. There's the mic drop on it that we are talking about messing around with ourselves to come up with a mindset, because when you come off that mountain or come off that fast or come off that whatever, and you enter into day-to-day life, and I believe you are able to deal with it at a higher level. So if you could take a pill instead of that 14er for that mindset, knock yourself out, man. If you can sit there in a meditative state.
A lot of pills build that way.
I know. If you can sit there in a meditative state and bring yourself to that mindset, I mean, that is the point that we're looking for. And we're doing all these things and playing with all these methodologies in order to establish a mindset.
Mm. Mindset. We will prime that for another show. We're at the end of our time today. Thank you guys for the time. I hope this really blessed listeners, whether it was on a Saturday morning or as this is turned into podcast. You can find more from Kevin with his new book, What Drives You. You can find it Amazon, I guess. And then you all know Randy here locally, True Life Medicine, and you can find us at Wealth Partner, WELLTH partner.com. We've really enjoyed being with you. This has been a fun show.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, Patrick.
All right. Cheers, all.
Listeners are encouraged to consult a professional advisor before implementing any of the strategies presented. The material in this program is for education purposes and is not intended to provide investment, tax, legal, health, or medical advice. Past performance does not guarantee future success. Information in this program is not an offer to buy or sell, or a solicitation of any offer to buy or sell the investments, investment strategies, securities, or well-being services mentioned herein. All expressions of opinion reflect the judgment of the speakers as of the date of the radio show and are subject to change and are not statements of material fact. Opinions are based on knowledge and experience, but may not include all of the supporting facts to verify these opinions. The advisor may not transact business in states where it is not appropriately registered, excluded, or exempted from registration. Individualized responses to persons that involve either the affecting of transaction in securities or the rendering of personalized investment advice for compensation will not be made without registration or exemption.